You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
My maker taught his tale. Remember pieces, memories of different men. Then I saw it, your name. Victor Frankenstein.
We're well past that.
Oh, they also had spoilers. We've gone too far. Oh, no. Yes, hello. How are we all going to this wonderful evening? How are you, Jill?
I'm well.
How are you?
I'm back home. I got the good lighting again.
Good lighting. Snaps. There we go.
Get up, catch it for me.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, hey, look, we're back, and it's a Tuesday, and it's regular time.
I know.
And this movie is available on streaming, so everyone should have done the homework. It's also a movie, but hey, yes, that's right. Tonight we're going to be talking about Frankenstein. yes.
Stein?
That's it. Nope. Frankenstein. We're talking about...
Frankenstein?
Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein.
Stein.
Stein.
Yeah, having a Berenstain Bears moment.
Yeah, we're talking about the man made of men, built by a man, assembled by men.
Yeah, the bodybuilding film.
Yeah, the bodybuilding film.
Pumping iron.
What a strange way to go back to wrestling. That's right. This is.
This
is another wrestling film, but this time we're wrestling the inner demons. There we go.
You know what I was really looking forward to in this film, because I don't think I've ever actually watched a proper Frankenstein film. Like, there are many, many Frankenstein films out there. I don't think I'd ever watched one all the way through.
Really?
So, yeah, no, I hate to tell you, but look, this Philistine.
Oh, that joke's not going to get old at all, is it?
Nope. Has never, ever watched one. So all I was expecting at certain points in time was like there to be a weirdly manic moment where he pours like colored liquids into a big thing and then sings a song about how he could make him a man. So,
look, there's been many different Franks. To be frank.
Yeah, the most recent one was the James McAvoy and Daniel Radcliffe one.
That wasn't that long ago, was it?
No.
And isn't there another Christian Bale one coming out?
Bride. The next Bride? Year. Yeah. Oh,
which God. Is going to be Frank. So, like, it looks sounds like things have come back into the public domain. A favor. They've come back into favor.
No, you were right first. But then again, I mean, it's been in the public domain for a very, very long time.
Yes, but I mean, they've been through the silent era, through the Universal era, through the Hammer horror era, and the recent era.
I was looking at it, like, list of films that are, you know, visually films that are essentially Frankenstein. I was scrolling down through the 80s, the 90s, and suddenly one of them was RoboCop, and I was like, shit.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I mean.
They're not wrong.
No. I wasn't expecting to be called out like that. But yeah. I mean,
the original Frankenstein was Humpty Dumpty. If we're just talking about putting something back together again and it goes sure. off, you know, maybe that's why yeah. that was the original one.
Let's go with that. That's yeah. Why not?
All the king scientists and all the king's horses. Why were horses putting an egg back together again? That just doesn't make any sense.
Just stepping all over it yeah. with their big hooves. They would have made it worse, let's be honest.
Maybe they were just supervising and like, does this bit go here? And the horse is like, nay.
Oh, fuck me. Jesus.
I have looked and I can find no intelligence behind those eyes. Say one word that is not fucking stupid to me.
Leaf.
Oh, dear. Sorry, I'm just looking at this list. Like, yeah. there is such an incredible list of Frankenstein-based movies, you know, TV shows, whatever. I was, you know, looking at them, and there's, of course, things like Frankenstein Rising, and then classics like Bikini Frankenstein.
Classic, yeah, that's a classic film.
And my personal favorite, Fuckenstein, the porn parody.
Oh, that's like that's
Rule
right
34.
Up, yeah, that's right up there with
there's porn of it.
Edward Penis Fingers.
I've got to say, I've not seen another Frankenstein movie either. Like, I mean, I know the classic black and white, the Gene Wilder one as well, but like,
oh, Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, I haven't even watched that one, but I have.
I have watched some of that.
Both versions of Danny Boyle's stage play of Frankenstein, starring Johnny Lee Miller and Benedict Cumberbatch. And the two of them used to alternate nights on who would play the doctor and who would play the monster. So I've seen both versions.
Okay, that would have been pretty fucking cool.
It was.
Okay, so this obviously, you know, based on the original novel, but then again, they're all kind of based on the original novel, but they take
all
different
make their
parts.
Own. Yeah, exactly. And like even the stage play, Danny Boyle's stage play, he changed the story as well.
What does it say? Right. What does it say about the original one? They just kind of pick and choose the bits they want out of it to create this thing that may not represent the original work.
They Frankenstein it, would you say?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a book filled with so much allegory that you really can interpret it however you want to tell your own sure. version of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the central concept, hell, Poor Things is basically a version of Frankenstein.
True.
Yeah. The concept is very, very simple. It's about a guy who makes life out of bits of dead things.
And also, you know, didn't hurt that they just basically took a woman's book and did whatever they wanted with it, even though she was probably sitting there going, can you just do the book I wrote? Just do the book I wrote. No, no, no. We'll just chop this up and change it and make whatever we feel like. You know, we'll make him an idiot and yell a lot and be super strong. It's not in the book.
Yeah. And I mean, I've also, I must admit, never read the book either. So.
What?
Philistine.
God. Next thing you'd be telling me you know more about Percy Shelley.
No, I don't know anything about Percy Shelley.
He wrote some shit.
Mary's
too.
Husband. Oh. He was a writer and they were friends with Lord Byron. They all would write stories together.
I love that. I do love that particular bit of the thing that like they all get together. Get fucking hammered off their tits on various different drugs and alcohol, and then go, okay, let's just scare piss out of each other. Your challenge, write something that is fucked up.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love that Mary is the one that came back and everyone else is like, you know what? You win. Fuck.
Okay, so Guillermo del Toro, that's what we're talking about, his version, his dark gothic fantasy version, which...
Gizmo's version.
Gizmo.
Yeah.
Stop calling him Gizmo.
What? And yet the thing is, I don't think he'd mind.
No.
Like, I mean, you know, GDT is a little bit hit and miss. Like, do you all love all of his films? Like, what did you think of his Pinocchio?
I haven't watched it, actually.
See, I love the look of all of his films.
Yeah.
I love the style. I love the attention to detail. I love the passion. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily love every aspect of them.
No. I mean, how did you find about Nightmare Alley? Did you love that?
I didn't actually remember
that one either.
Fucking, okay.
I like Shape of Water.
Looks,
yeah. Yeah.
I like Pan's Labyrinth.
How about Crimson Peak? We all enjoyed that one, right?
Oh, Crimson Peak's good, yeah.
Oh, this...
love Crimson Peak. Love the visuals on Crimson Peak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth, yeah, love. Love Kronos. Love, like, Hellboy 2.
Pacific Rim.
Oh, see, that's where I'm down with Gizmo. Like, Pac Rim 1 all the way.
Right.
But at the same time, like, you know, if he's on a film, I will absolutely want to check it out because, you know.
He's got a strong vision.
Yeah, he's passionate. Yeah. Like, this is what we love. I love watching Guillermo del Toro's stuff because I feel like this is someone that I could talk to and they'd be like, yeah, amazing. I want to do this and do that. And I'm like, okay, great. So when you announce a big thing like, I'm going to do Frankenstein, it's like, excellent. You have the right attitude to start this and go. And I very much enjoyed Frankenstein.
You did.
I did.
Okay.
I thought it was very good.
Right. Good.
Yes.
Okay, well,
anyway, end of podcast. I'll leave you to it.
Like, I was just looking through his back catalogue and I keep always thinking, you know, he doesn't actually get to do that many films. Like, you know, a lot of what he does is a lot of producing of other things in between the films that he actually makes. Like, he's also very prolific as a writer and producer. So, like, a lot of the stuff he's written, but then, like, there's a TV series like The Strain, which was very, very Del Toro. But also he's got, like, a whole heap of kid stuff too. So there's a couple of series that are on Netflix called Troll Hunters and Three Below, which are, as soon as you watch them, you're like, oh, yeah, no, that's totally Del Toro, but in a kid-friendly kind of way. So, yeah.
And he worked with Kojima on Death Stranding as well.
Which,
well, I mean...
I want to get invested in that, but I'm scared.
It's just a single dad Amazon delivery driver.
Yeah.
In an apocalypse.
Well, not even delivery driver, just like Deliveroo man.
Yeah.
Walking packages.
Actually, I just remember the last thing that I did watch of his, pretty much all of, was the Cabinet of Curiosities.
Ah.
He did the anthology series back in 2022. I do remember enjoying quite a lot of that. And there was also quite a lot of Lovecraft in there.
So when,
which isn't necessarily always
so,
a good
so, so the question is when you people good people heard about GDT's Frankenstein, were you excited? Did you also 100%. Feel like that was going to be good?
100% excited because his visual aesthetic is just so unique and so gothic and like really his kind of thing. Like, you know what you're going to get visually, and I just love costume and sets and, you know, production in films. It's so important. It goes hand in hand with the story and the acting, you know. So I knew that it was going to be a visual feast to see this movie, so I definitely intended to see it on the big screen to give it, you know, full justice. So I did go and see it before it came onto Netflix.
So, oh, you went and saw it in the cinema, right?
I did. Because I wanted to pay it due respect and see it on a big screen.
As Casper says, you know he puts a lot of effort in. You know?
Yeah.
He's putting in... And I also have a lot of respect for his love of doing things practically when he can.
Oh my God. I've been watching so many videos on YouTube about the production of this. There was no visual effects. It was all practical.
I'll hold you to task on that one, because there's a couple of absolutely terribly ropey visual effects in there.
That was CGI. Sure, there's probably a handful, but like most of it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
99% of it was practical. Mm. Like, of course you have to fill in the gaps with VFX, but
yeah,
you know. Yeah. You're not going to CGI some bullshit if you can do it practically.
With the wolves? Like,
oh, I don't know.
Because they were.
I didn't see the video on that one, Quinny.
Right. No. I'm just interested because, though, like, as Dan said, there were occasional moments where I was like, eh. But, yeah, you know that.
But, they built the ship and they put the ship on a gimbal so that they could actually push it. And,
yeah.
Like, when the monster flings a guy, he flings a guy. Like, they threw a dude. They didn't.
Yeah. I mean, this
VFX
is,
it in.
I think what that was. If you were to drag complaints out of me, that's the thing that it was most noticeable, because everything was done as real as possible. When you got stuff that wasn't real, it stood out as badly as when something's noticeably fake, like that's a fake wall, because everything else was so well done and it felt so solid. When they threw in just a couple of scenes of bits and pieces, specifically the wolves, I was like, that's, damn it. Like, it drag it out. But, what is it? That's like 30 seconds of stuff.
That stuff was really noticeable on the big screen, to be honest. Yeah, I'm thinking that's like a Netflix thing.
Yeah, it could have been too. Like, I couldn't get to the cinema, so I watched it on the,
I think there's a difference between, like, seeing a thing streaming digitally and then seeing, the film frames on a screen
at 24 frames a second
projected.
Because I did have a couple of moments where it felt a little not CGI, but definitely, like, there are a few shots where I was like, okay, I could sort of see where I thought a scene extension was happening, or where they were adding in background. And there are a few camera moves that I thought, that's a little weird. But I could imagine that on a big screen, it would probably just make it more immersive. Whereas on a smaller screen, it kind of made me just think, that's a very interesting lens. And you don't necessarily want to be thinking that's an interesting lens.
But we've natted on quite a long time. I was actually going to try and figure out, does everyone know what it's about?
Oh, my God. We're so far into it and haven't done a synopsis.
Yeah. Do we have any now? If anyone in the chat, and hello chat, like, sorry for not acknowledging you earlier. Hi.
Oh, no, we've been talking to the chat. We love chat.
After seeing Frankenstein, what accent should Quinny be doing? Is it Dr. Frankenstein, or is it the monster?
You could do Scottish. It was set in Scotland. You could do a German accent.
Scotland.
Give us a little Christoph Waltz.
Very weird Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, have I got my musical accompaniment?
Sure, why not? I'll just roll that in there.
Okay. I can't hear it, but I'm sure that it's terrible.
Oh, we haven't really started yet. It's got the interlude. There's a whole bunch of few other things that are in there.
Oh, okay, right. Is this the bit where it's just like repeating the sound effects of chains smashing?
Kind of. I don't know. There's creepy music in the background. This is setting the scene. This is Frankenstein. Oh. This is what we're doing. It's got the chains and the woos and the other stuff that's going on in there. I'll let you know when it becomes recognizable. I'll just shut up and won't keep talking for most of it. But that's okay.
I'm now waiting. You're just waiting for me to shut up.
You've got to wait for the joke to come through.
You couldn't have clipped this like
a little tighter.
That would have made. There we go.
Late one night, all my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
Dr. Vinker der Frankenstein, a brilliant but egotistical scientist, brings a creature to life in a monstrous experiment that ultimately leads to the undoing of both the creator and his tragic creation. I don't know what the fuck that accent was. It was...
it reminiscent.
Yeah, it was.
Queenie was from lots of different places.
It really was.
What's the equivalent of squinting for your ears?
Just squint your ears a bit and it sounds fine. Oh, I love that. Yes. I mean, it went almost Mexican at one point, and I thought, well, you know.
Sure. Yeah. It's a hodgepodge, Quiddy. See, this is what I like about Frankenstein.
Yes.
There's no wrong answers. You're just jamming stuff together and adding electricity.
Yep.
The spark of life. The wonder of life. Yes, the monster mash. Thank you for that. Perfect.
Perfect. I want to tell you a stupid story of my childhood.
Okay.
So
it's a monster mash.
Yeah, why not? We're just jamming things together.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I had a couple of albums, like actual vinyl albums of comedy songs that, like, my parents had albums, and these were the ones that apparently they just had for laughs. And one of my favorite songs was the Monster Mash, and I would put it on, but I thought that there was a scratch on the record, because the first little bit of it is this bit where it's like bubbly noises and then chains clinking. And then it would repeat and be bubbling noises and chains clinking, and then bubbling noises and chains clinking. So for years, or however long I was playing it, I would always move the needle over to get past what I thought was a scratch.
Oh.
I didn't realize that was just the beginning of the fucking song, and that was them building the beat. And I was like, oh, God. So for many years, I never heard the first line.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well.
Yep.
Oh, well. But you do now. And that's the important part.
Yes. Yes.
I have to say this straight away, because this is, what's up with Mia Goth? Like,
thank you.
I don't understand it. Don't get it. I think she's weird looking and probably not great as an actor, and I didn't enjoy her performance. There, I said it.
Yeah. Wow. That's it. Jill's gone. She's out.
Slightly concerned that Jill's going to actually come through just
start beating you up.
How very dare.
Look, I 100% agree, though, that you put eyebrows on her and she's completely unrecognizable. Because I did not understand that she was also Frankenstein's mother with eyebrows.
Yes.
Like the red woman at the start is Mia Goth.
Yes.
I missed that.
Did you miss that? Yeah. And then you've got Mia Goth. And the thing is as the mother, she just has eyebrows.
So she's like Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where he wears the glasses and suddenly he's a different guy.
Like, I get it. But I mean, I was just like, okay. It's fine. To be completely fair, too, I have to say that this film is very much just about Oscar Isaacs and Jacob Elordi. Like, so really, they're just additional people.
It's pronounced Jacob. Oh, Lordy.
Yes. Every.
What movie did you watch? How was Elizabeth not a key figure in this film for you?
It didn't resonate.
What?
Exactly.
She was the best thing in the fucking movie.
Her headdress was the best thing in the movie.
Oh, my God.
This is what I was waiting for.
The giant tube that Frankenstein had in the castle that he just threw shit down he didn't like, that was the greatest thing in the movie for me. I loved that so much. But, yeah, no, I sorry. Like, that's going to come out.
Okay, so... Let me begin my rant.
Do you need to tie your hair up?
Tie that hair up. Get serious about this shit.
Okay. Sure. So the intentional casting of Mia Goth as the mother and Elizabeth is genius, because, like, Victor has this insane Oedipus complex that eats at him through his life. And when he finds Elizabeth and covets her so much, he doesn't realize it's because he has fucking mother issues. Also mirrored in the fact that he drinks milk throughout his adult life like a freak. And so his whole thing is, you know, he's got this God complex as well, because he lost his mother due to his father's deemed incompetence by Victor.
Mm.
So he makes it his whole life pursuit to avert death for revenge over his own mother's death. And then at the same time manages to antagonize Elizabeth so much throughout this film with everything that she stands for in like nature and beauty and pureness and goodness and, you know, good of heart and innocence, that like the changing of the story, and this is a spoiler, but I will go into it anyway, the changing of the story from instead of the monster killing Elizabeth to Victor killing Elizabeth is like fucking pure genius. And the whole reason why this version, Guillermo's version of Frankenstein, is so good.
Okay. I'm glad that you are here because
you gotta have a stan, an Elizabeth stan.
Elizabeth is so pivotal to this story. It's not just about Victor and the monster and the trauma that the two of them inflict upon each other. It's the irony that Victor can't see the innocence in his own creation that Elizabeth is trying to evoke, that he murders her.
Victor's, I mean, this is the great thing about this is we all know the real monster in Frankenstein is not the 7-foot-tall monster. No, everybody knows that one. Everybody knows that the real monster in Frankenstein is Frankenstein, but Victor Frankenstein.
Dr. Frankenstein, he didn't go to medical school for all those years to be called Mr. Frankenstein.
But also, it does give it more oomph that you've got a character who is there, who is in some way trying to not attack, but balance Victor out, like trying to call him out and say, okay, you're talking shit, dude.
And like his ego is his own fallacy. Like,
that's absolutely
the simple fact of the film.
Yeah. I'm sort of stuck in the middle there because I, a little bit like Dion, go, I don't get the thing with Mia Goth as an actor.
I think
you haven't watched like X or Pearl or anything like that.
I have not, no.
I think it's absolutely perfect that the fact that Mary Shelley wrote a book that has a lot of subtle details that male filmmakers totally ignored for years and turned into something that they wanted is also lost on us, Quinny, as this.
Yeah.
Yet a woman saw it, Jill, and just went, hey, this is an important story. Here's this really important female character. And we're just going, what? Nah, she's shit. Anyway,
because she didn't get killed at the start of the story.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean anything for the man.
Exactly.
And you know what really, like, really made this version of Frankenstein better for me was that Danny Boyle's version, he had the monster rape Elizabeth, and that's not even in the book.
Wait, Danny Boyle did a Frankenstein? Where did I miss this?
The stage play. I was talking about it like 20 minutes ago.
No, the stage play one. I was going through the movie things was hitting me. I'm like, wait, Danny Boyle, what?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh God, that's
so many. There's so many ways that men misinterpret this story.
Sure. I get it. But thank you. Like, I love a difference of opinion, and please prove me wrong, Jill. And that's, I love it. You know, the characters that when I was like watching it, and I love the way that they split it into the three separate stories, like the prologue, Victor's version, which is an unreliable narrator, and then
everything is fact, but it's not all true.
No,
I like that.
And then you've got the monsters version. I love that because it does help fill in those gaps, and it does show that each of the characters is different based on whose perspective they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They are, but at the same time, like, I think it's interesting that it's not necessarily an unreliable narratory kind of thing in that sense that, like, we don't see the same sequence of events from two different perspectives. We just pick up where one leaves off.
Mm.
So,
and I think of it like the unreliable narrator stuff as you can't have an opinion about someone if you don't know what they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And because this it breaks away from each other in a couple of spaces, it's interesting. It was an interesting conceit, which I kind of like. But, I mean, I was also there for the visuals.
Oh, yes.
Screw the story. Oh, it's so pretty.
It's so beautiful. And so because Del Toro is a huge Kubrick stan, he insisted on using some locations from his film Barry Lyndon that was shot in Scotland. So those beautiful estates and grounds that you see in the film, like gorgeous.
Yeah. That exists and people forget that occasionally.
Actually exists.
Yeah.
But they built the lab. That was a whole set. Oh,
that lab set is fucking amazing.
Insane.
As I said, I loved that lab set. It had that giant drain in the middle that went down to the sewer, the sewer at the bottom, and then it had the hole to nowhere.
Yeah.
I love the hole to nowhere. I want a hole to nowhere that the stream running into it. I'd be like, what's good? What's down that? It's like, whatever, I want to go away. Bye.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that, and it was going to be a bad time.
I'm not being dirty about any of this. I don't want to fuck a monster. A lot of people.
The ship. They built the ship too. Oh,
yeah.
Yes. They built the ship. Like,
I love that they'll go to that effort. They'll go to the thing. Like seeing some of the sets, just even the exteriors of the castle, the tower, for lack of a better term. I was like, yeah, some of that, like the design, the size, the scale of the builds. Fucking incredible.
But like the towers. Like inside staircase with all of the moss and everything like that was just absolutely stunning as well.
I did have one tiny but why in the film, and I don't know if it came across to you guys. So meticulous, so well planned, like the whole laboratory, it has to do this, we have to go back to formula and make it again and get it perfect. And yet why was Dr. Frankenstein forced to climb unaided to the top of the tower in order to insert the rod that he had? No reason, no good reason. Come on, where's his assistant?
They just weren't ready for the storm. He hadn't expected the storm that soon.
I'm sorry, though. Wait one second. You have spent months assembling bodies from a fucking war-ravaged field, and you can do all that, but you didn't seem to think, oh, shit, fuck yeah, that spire thing that I need to do
it was the ADHD. Mm-hmm. You get so hyper focused on one thing that you forget it's something else.
Sewing musculature together, and then was like, oh, god damn it, I forgot the power.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
There was another video that I watched on YouTube about the color choices, the color theory throughout the different scenes that Del Toro chose. So like the opening is all like blue and gold, the ship scene in the prologue. Then you move into black, white and red, like Victor's mother is all in red. And then after her death, you always see Victor wearing something red. So he's got like a scarf, he wears red gloves. He's always got like a red item after her death. So like all these things are gorgeous. Also like the use of circles, it's a lot of circular stuff. You see it in Elizabeth's dresses. It's like a symbol of like the sun or like holiness and nature and that kind of stuff. So it's all these different
and being haunted by that religious iconography as Victor in his dreams, where it is the sun.
Like the angel of death that was.
How fucking cunty is that angel of death? Best fucking thing in the movie. God damn it. How do I live that?
You could cosplay that. I mean, angel of death from Frankenstein.
I'd love people to be that like, angel of death was the best thing in the movie.
Yeah.
And I was so
just
glad
go looking
that...
for your Frankenstein who is 6'5". I'm looking for a tall
looking for a man in bandages.
Yeah.
6'5", weird eyes.
Two different colored eyes.
Yeah, I just love the design of the things that, like, and I love that Del Toro gets to do his body horror thing. Like if there's one thing that we know about Gizmo is that he fucking loves a bit of body horror.
Oh, yeah.
And
there was
lots of
close-ups of, like, grotesquery. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And like,
very anatomical.
The anatomy. That's the thing that I love about it is he loves musculature. He loves bones. He loves, pulling things off. And there was one moment in it where I was like...
pulling it off.
Yes. Hey, there is an interview with him talking about Hellboy 2 where he discusses how much jizz there needed to be on the glass. He is a filthy, filthy fucker, but also that is kind of who he is. But there's a moment where he brings something, like finally gets something to come back to life after working out, you know, it's the lymph nodes or something like that, where this thing that doesn't have a bottom jaw starts, you know, moving. And I was like, oh, that's what I wanted. That's the GDT that I needed.
And that's the stuff that you look at and you go, oh, it's an animatronic. It's a puppet that they've made and it worked and it interacts and everyone feels it. And then, you know, that's the bits that you really kind of enjoyed because it is the horror and it reminds you occasionally, this is a horror.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because we're so used to seeing the other version of Frankenstein's monster. Often we know... Big, slow,
the dopey looking flat top
guy, neck bolts, you know, barely open eyes, very strong, big boots, Herman Munster, you know, that thing. And that was never what it was intended to be in the original book. It was all like Adam was always meant to be kind of a beautiful thing,
yeah,
that was assembled out of horrors. And this, they do that really well. There was a little part of me that I was like, God, I miss GDT being able to do more of his horror stuff. Like, I don't know how you could make this Adam more horrific, but I wanted something. I wanted a little bit more.
I know, really? He was too pretty.
Yes. No,
but that's what I kind of like about it.
I mean, it's definitely going to bring about a whole new generation of monster fucking girls. So yeah. I'm here for it.
Some... I love that there's like an Avengers of monster fuckers now.
I mean, all of us that grew up in the fucking 90s had our slew of monsters.
Yeah. We just need some weird crossover to cover it. It's Gautier assembling a team. It's like, and he'd you? Like, I need Nosferatu. I need the Shape of Water creature from the Black Lagoon, and
you just need sexy werewolf and sexy vampire.
Yeah. No, you've got Nosferatu. He's sexy vampire.
Sexy vampires.
And then there's werewolf, which is coming from Dave Eggers soon. So
okay.
And technically, I mean, are we likely to get sexy mummy?
We did, Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, and I believe that he's coming back for another one of those films.
I have
and I'm
heard that. Look, the best take I saw online was that the monster is going to be on my Hear Me Out cake. So I'm like, get it, girls, let's go.
Jesus.
God, oh, my God, that makeup for Jacob took 12 hours to put on, like the full body. Can you imagine, like, that's a whole day, like, that's more than a whole day's work.
Yeah,
before you started
put
shooting
in the makeup, and then you have to shoot in that.
So those rage scenes must have been very cathartic. It's just like, we need you to yell at the moment. Yes, amazing.
Also, I'm fucking cold.
Yeah. The only other one recently has been Vecna from Stranger Things, which took the same amount of time.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
Should we do a rating and then come back? Because we're getting on. At the moment, so should we rate and come back and talk, or do you want to keep talking about it? I don't care.
I can rate.
Yep.
I could rate.
Look, I'll roll through real quick. 90. I thought it was really good. Like the only points that came off were the bits that jarred me slightly, but I really liked it. It's a great story. Oscar Isaac's amazing. Jacob Elordi did a fucking magnificent job and acted amazingly. Everyone else supported very, very well. I just didn't like Mia Goth. It's fine. But
change your mind about her.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. We'll get there. But yeah, I liked it.
90. So that was 90 from you, was it? Sorry.
Yep. Yeah, it's really good. I highly recommend people go see it because it gives a good take on Frankenstein's monster and a great take on Frankenstein, the character, who is a complete dick.
Yeah. I am going to one-up Dion because I believe in Mia Goth, and I'm going to give it a 92. Oh,
you stand your goth girl.
I do. Mia Gothic.
Oh, jeez.
hot gothic? No.
Yeah.
I didn't perhaps get into it as much.
Oh.
It may have been because I watched it later at night and I was quite tired. So
didn't you watch it in two parts too?
I did have to split it, which I was not intending to do. I just had no fucking time over the weekend, so I had to watch a little bit on like Sunday morning and then some on Monday night, which is not ideal.
Not ideal, no.
Yeah. I certainly didn't hate it, but there were times where I started to really hate some of the characters, like as you're meant to, like you are meant to hate Victor. There were times where I felt like I was sort of, I was waiting for something else to happen. And I don't know what I was expecting. I don't know whether I wanted just that next oomph of real horror or something that felt like, because, you know, the idea of Frankenstein's monster is that it is powerful and doesn't know what it's capable of doing, so it hurts people. And there was perhaps a little bit of, I sort of half expected a little more of that.
Okay.
So, look, it's great. It's about an 80, 82 for me.
Okay.
Fair enough. Did you enjoy the Galactus cameo?
Yeah, I did enjoy a bit of what's his
name? Ralph Ineson.
That's the one.
And at least they got a Michelson in there. They couldn't get a Skarsgård, so they put a Michelson in. Mikkelsen.
Next best thing.
Mikkelsen.
All right, we'll go to clip. Should we go clip?
Clip.
Come
yes.
back. All right, clip. This is a lot of like lab work. Not a lot of talking, just a lot of lab work. Little bit of Hammer horror there, which is just that whole kind of crazy, ridiculous stuff, which is if you just add lightning, it'll be fine.
I should have known I couldn't have had an easy night hearing Dion say that he loved this movie. But him to then turn around and say, what was the point of Mia Goth?
I love it.
I was like, oh my God, Dion, I really like this movie. Oh, this is going to be a great night.
This is going to be a cakewalk. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. A review that we don't have to argue over. Because I had the same thing with Predators, like Badlands last week, where I'm like, it was fucking great. It was like, and then I look at Dion's face and I'm like, he going to argue.
I just love that also, like, I will never hear the end of this. From my life. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your problem in there, Goff? I'll be sitting there in a bar one day. You!
Yeah, I hope a random comes up to you on the street and says, why do you hate me, Goff?
Why do you hate me, Goff? I'll leave. Fine, maybe I have to watch it again and try and understand that the thing is there. Was it like, is there anything in the story you think didn't work? For the whole thing, like any bits and pieces, like I had a little bit of a not an issue, but it was a bit of a slow turn to go to the farm where he learned how to read, It was a slower change of pace. It was interesting for the character development, but it was a little bit of like, oh, this is a complete slowdown of, you know, what we're really doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is the lull in the story, like no matter which interpretation you see, because it is, it is a slowing down.
And there's always that moment where he sort of sees a young girl and you know, makes a human connection. And then you know that that's always going to end in some way, shape or form badly.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting that that added in the bit with him then going and talking to Victor and, you know, realizing that this is not just a monster that has pursued him. This is a person who has gone and had words with him and said, fuck's sake, you know, I only ask you, give me something, give me, you know.
Yeah, some... like, bitch, I'll leave you alone. Just give me a friend because you haven't been one.
Mm.
Yeah, he was supposed to be my father and you fucked that up.
Yeah, I just want a girlfriend. Which, it's funny because then I think about, like, how things went in Creature Commandos and stuff like that. And I'm like, the bride that also then has her own agency and is like, no, I don't want to be with you just because we happen to be the same kind of monster. So there's always that little bit in your brain where you're like, yeah, it's not going to go as well as you think it is, Chief.
Yeah.
I mean,
Dion, you go.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's like, what is it with this male loneliness epidemic? And stop trying to get someone to build you a friend, a companion. Just, you have to go out and find one. You have to make yourself a better person.
I watched it.
But the monster does go out and make friends, but then they always get murdered.
Shot.
It's true. By other men. Leave them alone. Like, it's fine. Yeah. I was just trying to make an allegory about
the real problem.
Yeah, I was trying to trying to show the metaphor about how.
Yeah.
Stop trying to look for the easy answer, AI.
We also saw this week a Chinese company that has made their robot that looks exactly like a woman and, you know, has. And I was like, why did the robot need to have breasts?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know why. Yeah. It's the exact same reason that OpenAI is now becoming a porn company.
You watch, fucking women would create a cyborg and they wouldn't give it a dick.
Mm-hmm. No. No. I mean,
why does that have to be anatomically correct? What are you intending to do with it?
Yeah. The thing. This wasn't a sex robot. It was just a robot that was walking around and helping with things. But at the same time, you're like, all you're doing is...
If it's a robot, why does it need to have genitalia?
Because if science fiction colonialism has taught us anything, in order to keep the work slaves happy, they need to be able to fuck the robots. I know, right?
I do remember one issue that I did have with the movie.
Oh, yeah?
The music.
Oh.
There was a moment, I believe it was the lab scene, where the music just felt a little bit naff.
Right.
It wasn't cooking like the rest of the movie was.
Yeah.
It was a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? No, it was
disappointing.
A bit oompa, oompa, oompa. Why are we kind of going for that vibe?
A little bit too upbeat when it could have been a bit subtler.
Yeah, everything else was like, there's a lot of dark, mysterious, moody scoring going on. And then the lab scene was a little bit too upbeat. Oompa, oompa.
Bit too Danny Elfman.
What's happening? Ooh, yeah, a little bit.
Little bit Tim Burton.
Yeah. And it really threw me out. That was like the one time I really noticed that the music was just not it in that moment.
I quite enjoyed Guillermo del Toro's use of lighting and light and reflection. I thought he did a great job with a lot of there's some great scenes, especially when there are some very difficult ways, like places to hide a camera in camera because he put mirrors in there. And I loved how he did that quite in a few scenes where he would give he gave Victor Frankenstein three reflections while he's considering himself. And that was a great, you know, metaphor for which way you're going to go here, buddy, and choice. And
you also mentioned something to me during the week, Dion, about the lights in the eyes.
Yeah, I loved one of the things that stood out to me was that the lights in the monster's eyes was an excellent use of always reflected. I think it's always in his left eye. It always reflected the firelight. So anything that was a flame, you would see a spark. It would reflect out of that one eye mostly, but it gave that really interesting thing where most of the time it looks normal. It's that okay. But if there was a monstrous side or there was some energy in what the character was thinking, the eye would flash or would catch the natural light that was around. And I just was like, oh, that's just really good looking. And it helped to go, you know, Jacob Elordi, who's covered in a lot of costume for most of the time, to denote the emotion going on inside. I thought it was really well done. Like,
Brilliant.
I hope that was the intention.
Movie making kind of stuff.
Yeah. Except for Mia Goth, she was really terrible.
On site, next time I see you.
I know.
Pow.
Right in the kisser. Right in the headdress.
And this is a telling statement about where I was at with the film. Remind me how Mia Goth died. You said that
Victor shot her. So there's the scene wedding. I do remember that. And there was the kerfuffle. And then he's trying to shoot the monster and she gets in the way.
That's right. I remember now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the monster still gets blamed.
Yeah. Of course.
Of course. You've got to blame the monster. Because there's no other way to go around it.
I think Victor's brother has to be one of the least useful characters.
He's the unsung hero of the entire thing. Without Victor's brother, none of that would have gotten done. He was the project manager for that entire lab.
He was, you're right.
Like the creatives were just walking around going, I want this here, and this here, and put this over here, and I want a tank full of green ooze, you know. Yeah. And the brothers are
making more of those big glass tube things.
The brothers just making notes, it better. Going, sure, okay, do it again, fine, and got it done.
Also the catalyst for everything that went wrong, according to Victor.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, you know. always somebody to blame. Shout out to Charles Dance. Fucking love Charles Dance in everything.
My dear brother Noomsy.
A massive cunt.
Yeah. Yeah, like never has anyone played cunt as better than Charles Dance.
He does serve. Yeah. Very well done.
And there were some other character actors who I love showing up. I just, anytime Bern Gorman shows up in anything, I'm like, nah, it's Bern Gorman.
He's doing fine.
He always looks ugly and weird, and I dig him.
Yeah.
Did we enjoy Christoph Waltz?
When he popped up on screen, I was like, eh. He's funny.
I was just saying, shut up, Predakanga. We're not going to talk about why the Project Spire wasn't completed. If he's a project manager, why was the spire not completed? You leave him alone.
No, possibly because the brother started to question whether or not his wife was having a bit of, you know, the hots for brother Victor.
He had to go on holiday at some point. He left it in charge of Victor to do it himself, and it just didn't get done. Because, as Jill pointed out, ADHD got in the way.
Yeah.
That's right, Casper. He wasn't using an agile workflow.
You could solve this by getting a Trello board.
Absolutely. But also, like, that big hole in the middle means that they were very definitely using Waterfall.
Yeah. They were using the Empire's engineers by not putting any safety railings around anything.
Yeah. Sorry, that was project management nerdery, and that's not cool. Office nerds. That's a special kind of fucking nerd.
Oh, don't mention Kanban. Oh, fuck.
God damn it, Casper. Fuck. Kanban boards? No.
That's right. We're finished now.
Yeah,
enough of that. Good. Yeah. Well, look, so, you know, if you happen to catch it in the true artistic way that Jill did in the cinema, hopefully it gets a re-release at some point in the cinema.
Nice. I think they probably only did a short run just so it would be up for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it's great. Jacob Elordi is great. Oscar Isaac's great. Mia Goth's okay.
Jill is going to go full Frankenstein's monster on you. She's going to do what the monster did to the wolves.
Yeah.
I'm going to body press you above my head.
It's a fair cop. I had a good time. I hope you guys had a good time.
I loved the, you know, lots of the stuff, but the body horror stuff. When he was assembling the body and, like, you know, cutting legs off and pulling bones out and stuff like that. God, I was just like, fuck, this is fun. This is Del Toro doing fun Del Toro shit.
A little bit of anatomy for beginners there, Quinny.
A little bit, yeah. I was thrust backwards in time, let me tell you.
Yeah. Get in there, see how things work. Oh, interesting. Speaking of how things work, what are we running into next week?
Well, we're going to have to be running out to go and watch Running Man because we didn't get invited to the screening this week.
Yeah.
Running Man. We run, don't walk to the cinema to see The Running Man. Or just maybe we'll just do the Arnold Schwarzenegger one, which is available in streaming services all around.
I mean, we did say we're doing a Running Man.
Yeah, we just didn't say which one.
Exactly. Yeah. It's Running Man. And you could do the synopsis like you're gargling a chicken, Quinny. yes, Edgar Wright's new film, The Running Man, starring that guy that is just the guy that's a Mera dude at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Glenn Powell.
Yeah, Glenn Powell. Yeah. Hi, I'm a Mera dude. I'm 6'5", blue eyes, blonde hair, an American, and I smile a lot.
Yeah, the most non-threatening man I've ever seen in my life. Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, he's got this sort of vibe of being like Chad, American chattiness.
Well, he's but playing Chad Powers.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah,
but at the same time,
it's very Chad.
It's Chad, but it's not like aggressive Chad. It's like Chad who may actually not be a terrible guy.
It's like respectful Chad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which nobody knows. Like, he went to, you know, one of the fraternities, but it wasn't one of the really bad fraternities. It was like one of the ones that, you know, helped people and stuff. Still a frat boy.
Yeah, that didn't exist, Quinny. It's like he went to one of the bad fraternities, but he just didn't get involved in a lot of the terrible stuff.
Good on him.
Anyway, this is our fan fiction in our head.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the film itself.
Probably didn't happen.
Hey, in terms of the films that we've seen recently, this, you know, Frankenstein is definitely going to have a lot of fan fiction written about it. You know, people are shipping this Frankenstein. I think it's only going to do wonders for Jacob O'Lordy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Saltburn didn't, like, skyrocket him, this will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that skyrocketed him in a certain queer community. Whereas I feel that this one's just...
So Jacob's for the gays and the girls.
Yeah. This is just... ¿Por qué no los dos? perfectly there at the moment.
He's also fucking huge. He's like this incredibly tall, lanky dude. So I'm just looking at a bunch of the photos, like the production skills of this film.
Beautiful photography.
Sweet Jesus, what a gorgeous film.
Yeah. Should have used those instead of the crap that was out there.
I know. I'm looking at these and going, God, I really should have. Actually, yeah. And what are the shots of the ship in the ice and everything? The thing that I am reminded of time and time again is how much I want Del Toro to do his At the Mountains of Madness. Like, he has been trying to make this adaptation of one of the classic Lovecraft stories.
Okay.
Like real Cthulhu stuff where, you know, they find ancient tombs in Antarctica and stuff like that. And all I can think of is looking at these, I'm like, yeah, just let him cook. Please let that man cook and do something all sorts of fucked up.
Yeah.
Who knows? We don't know if it's next. We're not sure.
Oh, we will probably never know. Who knows? Maybe one day he'll come back and do Hellboy 3.
Oh, maybe.
Didn't that end, though? Hellboy, the Golden Army, and then they remade Hellboy, and then they did another Hellboy.
They did, but I'd like to still see them go, fuck it, let's go back and do Ron Perlman, even though he's 80, as aging Hellboy for proper Hellboy 3.
I'm not sure. I think Ron Perlman has distinctly gone, I'm never doing that again. It is too much suit work.
We'll see. Yeah, that's what CGI is.
That's what AI is for. We'll just plug that in.
Not in a Del Toro movie.
Not in a Del Toro movie. Actually, that is something I do love and respect about him, is that he has been very vocal of saying, no, I'm never going to use AI.
And you can tell, like, I mean, it's there, it's on screen, you're not hiding it, you're capturing it all in camera, you're spending the money up front. Go for it. Yeah. I mean, did anyone see the Coca-Cola ad?
Fuck the Coca-Cola ad.
The new one, like, you know how every year they do a Christmas ad and it's like, oh, great. Oh, sure. And eventually one year they started doing like CGI stuff and people were unhappy about the polar bear, which was CGI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And now they did one and it cost the same amount of money that a full production ad would have cost. So everyone's just kind of like, wait, is AI cheaper? No. You know, is it better? Not really. It's still shit. And people are like, oh, hang on a second. This isn't delivering any of the things that you told us it would do. No.
No. And then you got all these other twats saying, oh, yeah, just put AI people in your movies. Like,
sure. Yeah.
People will still go watch them.
AI's going to cure cancer. Cool. What's AI doing right now? Oh, you can, like, make porn bots of anyone you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what we asked for. It's not what you promised us.
Yeah. You said it was going to be good.
Can you make cancer curing AI, please? I want that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, we can't. Best I can do is weird.
Yeah. Now, I shout out to Predakanga. I like the idea of the deboot. It's not a reboot. It's a deboot. We go back to a previous version.
As long as we keep Tom Cruise away from it, I think we'll be alright.
I still haven't watched that. Like, because that was the thing, isn't it? We wanted to make our Universal Monsters fucking shared universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still going, though.
Which one?
Huh?
Which Universal Monsters? Like, well, The Mummy killed that one stone fucking dead.
Ever since it was announced that Johnny Depp was going to be the Invisible Man, that's pretty much what has happened. He ain't beaten much. He's kind of drifted away.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, come on.
No. I like it, but I was reading Elskinorga's thing. If you look in the mirror three times and say, I like AI, Del Toro appears and slaps you upside the head.
Yeah, it's true. It's what Jules has been wanting to do to me the whole podcast. Oh, dear. Well, thanks.
Has anyone been watching else anything good as well?
Oh,
as
no. I fell into another K-drama.
Oh, no.
Okay, another K-hole. Jill's in a K-hole.
I'm in a K-hole again. I know. This one's called Crash Landing on You. The start of it, stupid. Stupid. This girl gets in a paragliding accident because a tornado suddenly appears.
Tornado. Excellent.
And then she gets thrown into North Korea and gets stuck there. So she's this Snow Queen businesswoman, but like the only reason why she has a heart of ice is to protect like herself from the family that hates her
in North
and
Korea.
She's in this in South Korea, and then she's in a paraglider to shoot like some new fashion commercial for her brand, and a tornado appears out of nowhere and she gets carried off into North Korea. And then this very handsome stoic soldier finds her and then like secrets her away and is like trying to help her get back. But then they fall in love.
I love that this is a Hallmark. This is a Hallmark movie, but North Korea.
Right. So she's stuck in North Korea, but she's like falling in love with this guy and befriending like all of the soldiers that work for him and respect him and all the ladies in the village that are very protective of the soldier. And I don't know. The romance is so cute, but the stupid tornado at the start was like, what the fuck are we doing?
Speaking of tornadoes, what's happening at the end of the month?
Wicked!
There you go.
You're Wicked.
Oh my God. I'll tell you what else I watched on the weekend. Wicked, One Wonderful Night, which was a little NBC thing that they did in the States where it was kind of like a spectacular thing that they did. Okay. So they had like the cast come and they were doing different arrangements of the songs and like little skits and that kind of thing. And it was very good. And the fashions were fashioning. Every scene, the girls were wearing a different dress. It was insane.
Nice.
And they showed in the special a pre-recorded version of For Good that Cynthia and Ariana and Indina and Kristen sang, and I bawled my eyes out watching this. So I just know that when this movie comes out, to not wear any makeup when I go, because right. I am going to be a mess.
It's fine.
My eyes are already watering. Ow. Oh. And I don't know why.
Allergies, Quinny. Allergies.
Just my eyes sting.
It's emotions. You're channeling your inner Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. Thank you.
Frankenstein.
But if anybody wants to watch that Wicked One Wonderful Night thing, Channel 7 will be airing it next Tuesday night at 7:30, I think.
What is that
on
the
7
one where...
and 7 Mate?
What's a Channel 7?
It's on
7?
The internet if you want to download it.
Right, yeah. Is that the one that has Cynthia Erivo doing one of her numbers in a flying rig?
Yes. She seems defying gravity and they pick her up.
Yeah, I saw somebody. Oh, my eyes are really stinging. I don't know why. Sorry. I saw somebody saying, like, as a professional singer, being able to sing in a flying rig is like fucking nigh on impossible, because you've got to be able to ground yourself and, like, you know, get the power for those notes. So she must have been, you know, practicing for months to get to the point where she could sing that.
Is this kind of like a Star Wars holiday special?
Yeah.
No.
Amazing. I love that we still keep doing that stuff, trying to pull it off.
Stop trying to make
she sung the whole
happen.
Crescendo of that song in the air.
The only thing I've watched recently is Witcher Season 4.
Which is?
I do not recommend.
Do you want to know what else I watched?
Yes.
I tried to watch the first episode of All's Fair, the new Ryan Murphy show with Kim Kardashian. Holy shit. It got 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I'm like, I need to see it. So I got 10 minutes in and I'm like, this stinks.
This is a dog.
And it's not Kim K's fault. She can't act for peanuts, but the script is so corny boots. It's awful. You have Sarah Paulson in one scene, absolutely going at 110%. And then you have Kim K with so much Botox in her forehead that she's not even like emoting.
Oh dear.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh dear. Well, thankfully you watched that, because I'm never going to.
I did it so you don't have to.
Thank you.
The last thing I finished watching was The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart, because my partner wanted to watch that, which is an Australian book that was adapted to an Amazon series.
Yeah, Amazon Prime series, which is shot in Queensland.
Yeah, and some here in Sydney and stuff. And look, incredibly beautiful. Like, probably some of the best cinematography I have seen out of Australia. By far the best cinematography I've seen in an Australian TV show. But holy shit. I love you, Sigourney Weaver, but you cannot do an Australian accent.
Oh, no.
It's just so bad.
Look, it's really beautiful. The story is pretty good, and it's not terribly acted. But just give it a crack. It is actually quite
If you've read the book, however, you will be somewhat, like, my partner is like, that's a pretty fucking massive deviation from the book in a lot of places. So but mostly to give Sigourney more to do. So if you've got Sigourney Weaver, you probably keep her around for all of the shows.
Yeah, she's going to be in each of the episodes.
Yeah,
but they did get a couple of things right, at least when I was watching. I'm like, yep, that's Australian. Like, you know, there's a few bits and tricks and isms and mannerisms that I'm like, very Australian. They didn't fuck that up, you know.
Yeah, like, and I mean, there's enough proper Australian stuff in there that you go, yeah, no, totally fine. Yeah. It's just, like, there's a couple of characters that are adapted from, like, there's a character who is intended to probably be Indigenous in the book, who now, for no particularly good reason, appears to be South American. Other than the fact that he's a hot South American actor.
Little from column A, little from column B, Quinny.
Yeah. Everybody's fine with it, I guess.
Sure.
That's mostly what I've been watching. And trying to trying to catch up on the Star Wars anime that came out. You know,
Visions.
Visions.
Oh my god.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. I'm like, oh shit, there's a thing that I actually would like to watch and have been failing to get around to watching it because, you know, there's other stuff that needs to be watched out there. Very excited though, because in 2 days' time, or thereabouts, we get the new series from Critical Role, which is The Mighty Nine.
Oh, the anime.
Oh, the anime.
I was like, pretty sure they started campaign
like,
420.
Season 4 already started.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, the Mighty
Nine. Oh, sorry, that's next Wednesday night. Sorry, that's Atari.
That's all right.
Oh, wow. Whoa, that's a tough one. The next Wednesday night, it's the Has-Been Hotel finale, Mighty Nine debut, and Wicked 2 tickets. That's a bad time for Tari.
That's such a great day all around. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, the movie's only just a couple of hours. You've got more time to feel this.
Yeah, so after you watch Wicked, you can watch cartoons.
I feel like you're going to be waking up on Wednesday having a severe case of can't be fucked going to work.
Oh, and I'm also looking forward to my next thing for tonight, which is watching It Welcome to Derek. I know, Jules out. Yep. Watched episode 2 and I've got episode 3 ready to go, and episode 2 was a fucking banger.
Well, it's good. I'll eventually catch up on that one, even if it does have Murder Clown. That's okay.
They play the monster match. Oh, thank you for joining us, everybody.
Thanks. GDT stuff.
Yeah. Fire up your Netflix.
Yeah. Fire up your Netflix. Go and watch it. Have fun with it. And then we'll come back next week to talk about the monster that is man as he runs.
Yes. Running man.
You're going to run away. Thanks for the chat.
That's the dance that I used to do at the club.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
What do you mean used to do? I still do the running man. I pull that shit out. Just be like, yeah, run a man. This is it, right?
This is
This is what this is what he's building a ballroom to do.
Yeah.
All right, then. We will see you all next Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. Bye. Good
night. Mash food. Easy, Igor, you impetuous young boy. Mash food.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.